This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thank you. And I'd like to give credit to the Lawrence Nightingale School of Nursing and Midwifery. You may not have heard of the illustrious Lawrence, but believe me, far better than Florence. I'm actually here to sell you an idea on a number of levels. It's a horrible title that I was given, but I've stopped arguing with these titles. But it is about beginning to plan for the future. And I guess if this is a Future of Nursing Workforce National Conference, that seems to be an appropriate place to do it. But what I really want to do is to get some of your enthusiasm for a large study that we are undertaking that will begin to address some of the issues. The RM Forecast study is a large nursing workforce study. It's funded by the European Union's 7th Framework Research Programme, and it is made up of a consortium of initially 14, now 15 countries. Norway has just joined us. I think it's very striking that other countries have been queuing up attempting to join the consortium. We're now having to turn people away, most of them in Europe, but also a number of partners from outside Europe. The English study is led by myself in the National Nursing Research Unit with Anne-Marie Rafferty, who you may know has done work in this area before. The study also involves Linda Aitken from the University of Pennsylvania in the United States, who has done much of the seminal work in this area. We've also been funded by the Department of Health's Policy Research Programme to extend the study from the core 30, which is 30 trusts, which is funded by the European Union, to cover all English acute care trusts. And we have just begun recruiting trusts to that wider study. I hope we've just completed recruiting trusts to the core European study. So part of what I want to do is, any of you who have any influence on these matters, please go back and encourage your trust to take part. I've been sort of going around a number of places saying that RM Forecast is possibly the largest nursing workforce study ever undertaken. I put the weasel word possibly in because then there is no fear of contradiction. I'm pretty sure that the English study will be the largest nursing workforce study ever undertaken in England, and indeed probably the largest scale piece of nursing research ever undertaken in England. But I appreciate in itself that's not a reason to take part. I guess underlying it, and this is the reason to take part, is a very simple question. What are the nursing inputs that we need to deliver safe and effective care? And this theme as a research topic goes back for a long time. But in terms of recent history, I guess the Magnet Hospital research is as good a starting point as any. This showed that hospitals with a good reputation for nursing care, hospitals that attract and retain their nursing staff, also have good patient outcomes. The question that arises then is, what is it about the way that these hospitals organise their services, organise and support their nursing staff, that make them good for both nurses and patients? Is it about staffing levels? Is it skill mix? Is it the practice environment? Is it leadership? Or is it something else about the systems in which nurses deliver care and patients receive it? What difference do different workforce configurations make to patient outcomes and, crucially, to nurse outcomes? And I say crucially because, as you'll see, I don't think that the well-being and the welfare of nursing staff is an issue that can be sidelined. I think it's intimately caught up with the impact and the benefit and the quality of care that we deliver to patients. But most of the research in this area has actually focused on a far simpler effectiveness proposition, that simply more registered nurses in acute care settings result in better quality of care, leading to fewer adverse events, better patient outcomes, better patient experience. And the vast majority of this work has been done in acute care. We have just published a study that used a similar approach, looking at nurse staffing in primary care, practice nurse staffing, and that has shown associations between quality of care and intermediate patient outcomes, as measured by the Quality and Outcomes Framework, are indeed associated with nurse staffing levels. But it's a pretty simple model, and this simple model can really only ever give us one answer and one possible solution to our problems. The answer is, do we need more nurses or not? Yes or no? And what's the solution? Well, it's more nurses or we don't know. Now, I think if we look to the future, that's going to be a pretty unhelpful set of questions and answers. But because I think this is such a fundamental foundation of much of the work in this area, it is worth just touching base on where we have actually got to in this research. There's been a huge amount of progress and a vast number of studies examining associations between nurse staffing levels and patient outcomes. And this slide gives a summary of the results from a systematic review and meta-analysis. So we've identified a number of potential nurse-sensitive outcome indicators, and we've shown increasing evidence of a connection between nurse staffing levels and a number of outcomes, most significantly patient mortality. We've shown some associations from other elements of quality and nursing outcomes. Essentially, what we're saying is that hospitals with more nurses appear to have fewer deaths. Bunch of statistics there. Let's try and put that into human terms. Here we have a simple graph that has got the percentage of surgical deaths in the hospitals with most nurses running through to the middle numbers to the hospitals with fewer nurses. And this comes from Anne-Marie Rafferty's study in England. Shows that the more nurses we have, the fewer surgical deaths we have. These associations are not just dry statistics. Let's do a little thought experiment. In this study, there was data from nearly just over 120,000 patients. If the rate of death in all of the hospitals in that study was that of the best, there would have been 2,375 deaths. If the rate of death was that of the worst, there would have been 3,206 deaths. So what you're looking at in this graph is not just dry statistics, it's actually 831 lives that we may be able to save. As you move from left to right, within this study, 831 lives. This was probably about a fifth of the hospitals in the country. So if we multiply that up, we're talking thousands of lives. If what we're seeing here is a simple causal relationship. But the world is not that simple. It's far more complicated than that. There are other things going on. As nurse education increases, mortality decreases. This from Linda Aitken's study in the United States. As we look across the world, we see associations between nurse perceived quality of care and the hospital work environment. Quality of care is affected by the work environment, not just the numbers, but the perception of leadership, support, organisation, training. And as I say, these effects have been demonstrated internationally. And these nursing work environments also affect the well-being of staff. Here we see the decrease in levels of burnout associated with good compared to bad nursing work environments. And of course, the well-being of the nursing workforce impacts not just on the quality of care that they deliver, but staff turnover, sickness and absence. If we want to talk in those terms, it impacts on the bottom line. So summarising where we've got to with this work, what we see is that we have a reduced odds of death dying within nursing associated with better nursing work environments, associated with higher nurse staffing levels, and associated with higher levels of education in nursing. And although the focus of much of this work has been on staffing levels in themselves appear to be the least significant factor, although they are still significant. But if we put all three factors together, we get a reduction in odds of death by 30%. But again, if this is causal. But I think what it begins to show that as we move and look to the future, where we have debates such as do we move towards an all-degree nursing workforce, which I have no doubt has largely been ideologically driven by a few members of the profession. Yeah, I think much of the welcome for the move to all-degree is because it does a lot for our professional status. Well, I think what this is saying here is that it may also do a lot for patients if we can meet the challenge of training and currently unregulated, currently without formal qualifications, and currently variably supervised cohort of support workers delivering direct nursing care. Personally, I'm avoiding the debate about whether or not we should use the term nurses in association with them or not. Perhaps if you get me drunk in the pub one night, I'll tell you what I really think. I think it's controversial. There are a lot of issues that we need to sort out. And I think we certainly shouldn't carry forward this idea from some American research that that means that we can plug in degree nurses and we will simply get better outcomes. There are a lot of challenges, but the opportunity is, I think, a real one. So what we have is a bunch of research so far that makes associations between patient outcomes, nurse staffing at a hospital level, and makes inferences then about what happens on the ground at the point where clinical care is delivered in care units. A lot of it has relied on self-report by nurses, which of course is a rather self-selected sample, which is probably influenced by how busy people see themselves to be, which is certainly influenced by the workload of nurses, as is no doubt the patient outcomes, but equally so is the level of staffing. And of course the patient acuity and case mix hugely influences what happens here. And the individual workload and how we organise the workload of that individual and how we work with other colleagues across the team also hugely influence these things. Essentially, this diagram is not meant to be a definitive illustration of what's going on, but I think it illustrates that we've had a very, very simple model of what's going on and that the reality is hugely more complex. And as we look across the world, I think we have other illustrations that the reality is hugely more complex. This graph plots the number of doctors per head of the population against the number of registered nurses per head of the population in a number of OECD countries. The lines show the number of nurses relative to the number of doctors, and it illustrates the absolutely massive variation in the way that healthcare workforce is configured in different countries. There's a huge variability in nurse density. The ratio between the highest and lowest nurse density is more than three times if you compare Ireland to Greece. The ratio between doctors and nurses varies hugely, with a number of countries having essentially similar numbers of doctors and nurses to countries such as Ireland and indeed the UK that have a very high number of nurses relative to the number of doctors. In the UK, we have a relatively high doctor-nurse configuration, relatively low numbers of doctors compared to most of our peers. And I think one of the questions that emerges here is there a nursing shortage? We all say that there is a shortage of nurses, and in every single country here, there would be a report of a shortage of nurses. And yet, that report of shortages seems to be entirely independent from the number of nurses that countries have actually got. So, I mean, can we say that Greece has a nursing shortage? Well, possibly, because it has far fewer nurses. But Ireland also has a nursing shortage, even though it has more nurses than just about any other country in the world. Clearly, what we've got here is very, very different configurations of healthcare systems. And I think the question has got to move from how many nurses do we need to how do we use the resources that are available to deliver the best healthcare possible. The research so far has ignored many of these factors, and crucially, it has ignored completely the effect of medical staffing. And as you see, if you look across the world, the variability in medical staffing is just about as great as nurse staffing. And if we look towards workforce forecasting, what we see is that current workforce forecasting models start from an assumption. And essentially, the assumption that they start from is that the number that we currently have in the workforce is in some way correct. So most of the models will make assumptions about the future supply and the need to replace existing workforce. Some of the more sophisticated models look to future changes in the demand for workforce. But they always start their projections from what we currently have. But if you look across the world, it says that potentially the starting point could be entirely different. I think we need to free up our imagination and look at very, very different potential situations. And we need to consider simply but fundamentally whether or not the current workforce is actually the right starting place. Which is where the RM Forecast study comes in. very usefully unreadable graph, but with lots of arrows and colourful pictures. Essentially, it is just a small component of a programme of European Union-funded research that's looking at a number of issues related to the healthcare and specifically nursing workforce. And what we're hoping to do is to start injecting the idea of quality into some of the current workforce models and to ask the question, what if we started from somewhere different? What if we started from the workforce configuration that would deliver the best possible outcomes in order to deliver some improved forecasting for the future? The study has three fundamental components. There is a patient survey that is being run in most of Europe. In the UK, we will be using data from the Care Quality Commission's National Patient Inpatient Survey. We'll be looking at hospital characteristics in terms of the configuration of their workforce for both nursing and medical staff, and crucially, how that is organised and deployed, including factors such as the use of metrics to govern and match the workload to the workforce. We're going to be using routine hospital discharge data to assess patient outcomes, mortality, length of stay, readmissions, failure to rescue, potentially other outcomes that we may be able to derive from that data. So that's the study that we're currently at recruiting all English acute NHS trusts to. In addition, for 30-odd trusts, we will be deploying a questionnaire to a large sample of nurse staff in acute, general and medical wards, looking at levels of staff well-being, perceptions of care and similar issues. So that's the shape of the study. Now, the astute amongst you will have noticed a number of significant omissions here. And I think one of the things I would say in terms of my recruitment pitch here is that I think we have a tendency to focus on what any given piece of research doesn't do. Well, this research will not change the world, it will not do everything, and it will not address all of those issues of complexity. I think in particular, you may have noticed that it is focusing on acute care and physical adult care only. And whilst it is likely that for the foreseeable future that will still occupy the majority of nursing staff and the majority of healthcare workforce and the majority of expenditure, clearly the world is changing. We do hope with the English extension of the study to be able to include levels of general practice nursing, community nursing and other configurations of community service, depending upon what we can do with routinely collected data. But as I say, we can't do everything, but this study is a big leap forward from what's been done before. And what I list on here is a number of factors that were brought up by stakeholders from the European study a few weeks ago. And I think it sort of illustrated that there are an awful lot of interested parties here. I think crucially for hospital administrators, I think studies such as this can make the point that there are important implications from changes in nurse staffing. And I think we've seen in the history of the UK that often changes have been made to nurse staffing without any reference to what the consequences would be in terms of the fundamental impact upon patient safety and well-being. Understanding how we can better organise care in order to deliver the best care, but also informing governments as we move towards educational restructuring. As we face the pressure to improve the quality of patient care further with fewer resources. For patients, we have the potential to deliver improved outcomes and the potential to deliver information that will inform patient choice. And for nurses, I think we see the example from the United States that this sort of research has put nursing on the top table in healthcare policy decision making, which, no offence to David, I don't think it is generally in the UK these days. I think that we struggle, I think we're making improvements, but I don't really get the sense that nursing sits on the top table. So I will conclude with the simple, when a request to participate in this study drops through the door of a healthcare trust near you, I would urge you to consider seriously taking part. And I'll be really honest, what's the benefit to you? Probably relatively little. We will give that trust a report on its own performance, but most trusts do know that already. But I think what is more significant is the contribution to research in this area on a scale that we have simply never achieved before. And I think that is important. And at some point for the future, if we really want to know how to deliver the best possible patient care with the likely limited resources that we will have, we do need to do studies like this, and we need to have answers to these questions. Thank you.